Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another. Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own lady, Nadine Wiggins, will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us and participate in our Bible study, you are welcome to call in at 7 p.m. when our lesson starts. Amen. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So all you have to do is call in your prayer request. There's always someone here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen? Praise be to God. At this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory, by Francesca. Amen. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray from Tuesday to Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen? To God be the glory. Praise his holy name and call in your prayer requests. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise be to God.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. And your mighty power. And your awesome majesty. Hallelujah. Upon us now.
Lord, come upon us.
Yes, Lord. And release your power. We need your power. And let your presence. Let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
Lord, we proclaim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, tell us, believe.
Receive new joy. Hallelujah. In your presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We cry out to your Lord.
Come to your rescue and give you what you need. Hallelujah. Let your presence fall. Yes, Jesus. There's worship in this room tonight. Raise your voice and cry out to the Lord. Come on, let's take it up. Yo, take it up.
Praise be to God, everybody. Let us pray. In Genesis 35 and 7 says, he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Let us pray. El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. El Bethel, we know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You have revealed your power and your strength in countless ways. The heavens tell of your glory. The skies display your marvelous craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. And at night, they make you known. They speak without a word, and their voice is silent in the skies. Yet their message goes out to all of us on the earth. For since the creation of the world, your invisible attributes, your eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. You have revealed yourself to all of us, El Bethel, and we give you praise for who you are, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And all you have to do is call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory, and we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
This is for my sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is for my sister. Stay strong.
Yeah.
I pray your strength in Christ. Don't let the game steer you wrong. Sippin' on the same drink, more the change, same cheap boys, same kush, smoke, same conversation, different stuff, same temptation, same game, same honey, same front, like you got paper, it make you feel big, carrying his gun, tough guy, such a deadbeat to his kids, but he's so fly, 90% of his conversation was all lies, he won't choose for the price of one, you and your sister like wine, so he buy a drink to get you drunk. Now you're working on your sister's side. Every opportunity get you wish you bad by. Now you both way controlled by another power. Quiet as kept every thug up in the club block with no threat. I used to plot too. I must confess it wasn't right. But that's the price the sister pay. Every night she play.
She plays the street life.
The street life don't come with no proposal. Only believe half of what you see. And only 2% of what you hear. I pray your strength will
play. Oh, in the street of life,
I know Jesus in your mouth, but he's far from your heart. No doubt you deceived love from the start. Ever tied your thumb, sipping on your drink, sitting at the bar, five drinks a minute. Now you on a dance floor, heavy breathing, bumping and grinding like you want more. Sweating teeth, dropping your load to the floor. Misrepresent everything you stand for, showing the games you sold, not told. Remember, you reap what you sold.
You trust your walk, your talk, your who you think you are.
She plays the street light, cause there's no place she can go. Street light, it's the only light she knows. Street light, and there's a thousand colors to play.
Oh, in the street light,
will you play your life away?
He affects you tonight. Get you tomorrow. One night stand in the back of the car instead of demanding respect. You let him trick your heart. You surviving on the edge. Hope you find a baller bouncing around from clubs to cars. He only likes you enough when you're giving it up. Your friendships can't be taught. So when he sets you up, remember respect can't be bought. So be the real quick.
Oh, yeah,
give me all.
Yeah, let the people see
what a real
who you
wanna
be. And every night you shine.
What a real sister
just
saint
like
said.
A superstar. The type of life that plays a chance and masquerade. You trust your walk, your tongue.
The ladies are
you think
but
you
the
heart that she
has.
Christ Jesus died for us all. Remember patience, raised death, all the money, material things. Sister would never feel an empty heart. Don't be ashamed to call on Jesus' name. He'll heal your pains, erase your scars. If you go and worship Son, you remember Jesus gave his life, and he loves you for who you really are. You a temple of God, a queen. So keep your faith up and look towards the star. I'm sending back Christ Jesus to point the way. To safety, to security. Come to word of the living. Come, sister. Jesus' name.
Until you play your life away.
Jesus loves you. And I love you too. Come to word of the living.
I don't always stand in amazement at the intricacy of your creation. intricacies. I failed to marvel at the depth of your wisdom. Forgive me for those times you have revealed yourself to me, and yet I chose to view you with earthly eyes rather than with spiritual discernment. Let my love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that I may be able to discern what is best and may be pure in my recognition of you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And it's as simple as that. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise God. Yes, and we are in the Old Testament. We are coming from Genesis chapter 28. And when you get to 28, go over to verse, and we're going to read verses 10 through 15, and then we're going to drop down to 20 to 22. Amen? Praise God. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 15 says, and this is Jacob starts a family. This is what this scripture is about. Amen? And it says, meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go. One day, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Amen? Now let's go down to verses 20 through 22, where it says, then Jacob made this vow, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place of worshiping God. And I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. So you see in these verses 10 through 15, God's covenant promised to Abraham and Isaac was offered to Jacob as well. But it was not enough to be Abraham's grandson. So Jacob had to establish his own personal relationship with God. God has no grandchildren. Each person must have a personal relationship with him. It is not enough to hear wonderful stories about Christians in your family. You need to become part of the story yourself. Amen? And you will find that if you want to read it in Galatians 3, verse 6 and 7. Amen? And also in verses 20 through 22, Jacob trying to bargain with God. It is possible that he, in his ignorance of how to worship and serve God, treated God like a servant who would perform a service for a tip. More likely, Jacob was bargaining but pleading his future, was pledging his future to God. He may have been saying, in effect, because you have blessed me, I will follow you. Whether Jacob was bargaining or pledging, God blessed him. But God also had some difficult lessons for Jacob to learn. Amen. Praise be to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title of this message is God is There. And the text for this message is coming from Genesis 28, 20 through 21, where it says, if God will be with me and watch over me, then the Lord will be my God. Amen. Praise be to God. The writer says, Aubrey bought a fleece-lined coat for her aging father, but he died before he could wear it. So she took a note of encouragement with a $20 bill into the pocket and donated the jacket to charity. 90 miles away, unable to endure his family's dysfunction any longer, 19-year-old Kelly left his house without grabbing a coat. He knew of only one place to turn, the home of his grandmother, who prayed for him. Hours later, he stepped off a bus and into his grandma's arms. Shielding him from the winter wind, she said, we have got to get you a coat. At the mission store, tried on a coat he liked. Slipping his hands into the pockets, he found an envelope with a $20 bill and Aubrey's note. Jacob fled his dysfunctional family in fear for his life in Genesis 27, 41 through 45. When he stopped for the night, God revealed himself to Jacob in a dream, which in Genesis 28 and 15 says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, God told him. And Jacob vowed, if God will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, then the Lord will be my God, verses 20 through 21. So Jacob made a rudimentary altar and named the spot God's house in verse 22. Kelly takes Aubrey's note and that $20 bill wherever he goes. Each service as a reminder that no matter where we run, God is there. Amen. God be the glory. No matter where you go, God is always there. Question. When you have had to run, whether literally or metaphorically, where did you go and who did you turn to? And how can you remind yourself of God's presence in your life? Think about those questions. Amen. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father, you are the one can always run to. Help me turn to you first. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise be to God. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And all you have to do is call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. I am your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. At this time, I will play another selection, The Blessings of Abraham by Donald Lawrence. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Go, y'all.
Well,
book. Score up them. Somebody's going to walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours. It's your inheritance.
Wave your hands as you know you're going to go get it.
The heart of his spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of his spirit lives. Righteousness, chosen to serve the King of Kings, the Son of God, walked this earth, bringing grace to the undeserved, crucified in our place, forgiving. the heart of His Spirit. Secrets that is in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of His Spirit lives eternally, leading me, guiding me, restoring me. The heart of His Spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of His Spirit lives eternally, leading me, guiding me, restoring the heart of His Spirit.
Hallelujah, praise God, the heart of His El Vessel. Thank you for making yourself known to me. Thank you for taking up residence in me through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, which enabled your Holy Spirit to make my spirit your house. My body is now the temple of the living God. My life is Bethel, where you dwell, and yet I still strive to make my own decisions in spite of your desire. Thank you for your patience and long suffering as you dwell in and with me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We have about 4 minutes, 5 more minutes to go. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins going to come with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. And you can give your comments, your thoughts on what the writer is saying. Amen. And you can always, give your thoughts and your comments. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection by the Wiki Tones, The Spirit of Victory. Praise be to God.
Victory.
Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. In the meantime, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection while we're waiting. Praise be to God. Three.
Victory is mine.
With a prayer, El Vessel, abide in me. Set up your home in the depths of my soul. Let your words dwell in me, that I may know and live by them and for you. Reveal to me the sin I must confess and turn from so that I may be pure and blameless in your sight. Show me how to best honor you through this temple you have set up within me. Give me in my eating habits, guide me, in my eating habits, in my entertainment choices, and even in what I wear, so that as your house vessel, I may glorify you in all I do. Grant me the discernment to know how to reflect you well. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now at this time, our First Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Well, as you know, our panel is not here with us today, but it's just you and I and all of those on the internet. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. In your hand.
Okay, let's open in prayer.
Yes,
our Father and our God, Lord God, we honor you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We praise your holy name, Lord God.
Amen.
And Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity again, Lord God, to share in your word and learn your word and understand, Lord God, your word and get deeper and deeper into your Bible, the Bible, Lord God, which is the Word of God, that we may have a clearer understanding of who you are, Lord God, and what your plan has been from the very beginning for our lives, who you love us so much, Lord God. So, Lord God, open up both of our and anyone who's listening, our ears, Lord God, and our hearts and our minds, Lord God, that we may receive what it is that you will have us to receive. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. We say a special prayer for Sister Barbara, who's at the polls, Lord God. We say a special prayer for Jake, Lord God. And we say a special prayer for Mother, Lord God. She may come on the line today, Lord God. So, and we say a special prayer to all of those who are listening in on this program, Lord God. Bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
so
God.
We're going to get to Amos. finally, we'll get to Amos. And so let me read the introduction. So Amos prophesied during a period of national optimism in Israel. So they were pretty optimistic at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Business was booming and boundaries were bulging. Mm-hmm. But below the surface, greed and injustice hypocritical religious motions had replaced true worship, creating a false sense of security and a growing callousness to God's disciplining hand. Famine, drought, plague, death, destruction, nothing could force the people to their knees. Amos, the country's farmer turned prophet, lashes out at sin, unflinching, trying to visualize the nearness of God's judgment and mobilize the nation to repentance. The nation, like a basket of rotting fruit, stands ripe for judgment because of its hypocrisy and spiritual indifference. So Amos is broken up into, Amos is broken up into, five parts. 4 parts. And in the first section, it's called the 8 prophecies, where, and that's chapters 1 through chapters 2 and 16, where the judgment lies on the surrounding nations and judgments of Israel. Mm-hmm. And the pronouncement of the judgment happens in chapters 1 and 2. And then we see the judgment goes throughout to chapter 9 and 10. So you had a pronouncement of the judgment. You have the provocations for judgment and the future of the judgment. And the first 1 and 2 is judgment to the surrounding nations. So these are not even judgment on Israel. These the first 2 chapters deals with the surrounding nations. And then when we get into chapters, the rest of the chapters, say chapters 3 through chapter 9, is judgment against the northern Israel. It's judgment against northern Israel. So this is not even, this doesn't even deal with Judah. This is all judgment against northern Israel. So Amos prophesied to northern Israel and not to Judah. And then we see, so that's where he's prophesizing. But when I was looking at the first 2 chapters, particularly the surrounding areas, like we knew that the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. But I had also looked up, and we can go to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, let's see, I'll tell you what verse. Come on, computer.
Chapter 1?
Yeah.
1 and 1?
I'm trying to find it. Yeah, I want to find the verse.
Oh, okay.
That's not it. Yeah, chapter 1. Verse 13. Yeah, from 13. Yeah, just all of 13. If you can read chapter 1, verse 13.
Okay. The 13 to 15?
No, just 13.
Okay. So this is what the Lord says. The people of Ammon have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. When they attack Gilead to extend their borders, they ripped open pregnant women with their swords. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so I also looked up who was the Ammonites, where it says the sons of Ammon. And the Ammonites were descendants of Lot's son Ben-Amin, and Lot's younger daughter had a baby, and that baby was Ammon. So they're descendants of, because it was a brother and a sister, Lot's younger daughter, and his son, Ben-Amin.
Uh-huh.
Right, those are the two daughters that, remember, tried to, they seduce him so that they can get pregnant?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They got him drunk, intoxicated, so that he can get them pregnant. And so he, but it also said that he had a son named Ben-Amin, and Ben-Amin and the younger daughter conceived this son, Ammon. So the Ammonites are descendants of that that relationship. So I thought that was interesting because Lot, you know, I mean, Lot played a significant role in being the only righteous person in
from Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah.
From Sodom and Gomorrah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah. But when I was watching it, I only saw, you know, that he had the two daughters, but when did he have the son? Did he remarry?
I know, because here's the thing, right? That was the reason why the daughters, because they wanted to, I think, what was the reason? They wanted to have a heritage, right? Wasn't that the reason why they forced the father to have babies so that they can, let's read that story.
So they could keep up the heritage, right?
And right. So that's why I was surprised when I looked it up, and they said it was Lot's son, Ben-Amin. And I'm like, wow, I thought he just had two daughters. So at what point did he, you know, have this son? So we'll look that up. Look up when did Lot have a son? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So let's see. It's the accusation the people have been again and again. We must begin the process of forgiving the sins of another person. King Hazah was king of Aram. Ben Hada was Hazah's son. So how could he be Lot's son if he was the son of King Hazael, Hazael, which was the king of Aram, and Ben Hada was Hazael's son. And 2 Kings 13 and 24.
Okay. So maybe that may be a different Ammon. You know, because they come, you see the names being used more than once, because it says here that, I'm going to read it. Oh, yeah, I got this one. So it says the first mention of the Ammonites in the Bible is in Genesis 19, 37 through 38. It is stated there that they descended from, so let's get Genesis 19, 37 through 38.
19, 37 through 38. And, Lot and his daughters. So 37 says, when the older daughter gave birth to a son, she named him Moab. He became the ancestor of the nation now known as the Moabites. When the younger daughter gave birth to a son, she named him Ben-Ami. He became the ancestor of the nation now known as the Amorites. Ammonites.
As the Amorite.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. So it wasn't that he was Ben-Amin was the daughter's son, right?
Right.
Is that what it says?
Yes, the daughter's
right.
son. Okay.
So I'm reading here. It says the first mention of the Ammonites in the Bible is in Genesis 19:37-38. It is
right.
stated that there they, it is stated there, it's stated there that they descended from Ben-Ammin, a son of Lot.
Right.
He was the son of Lot through the daughter.
Right. Because I was saying, like, when they fled, there were no men around.
Right, right, right. So he is the daughter. So through his daughter, through his younger daughter, who plotted with her sister to intoxicate
mm-hmm.
Lot in the inebriated state, having relationships to become pregnant.
Right.
Ben-Ammin literally means son of my people. So it says,
wow.
after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the daughter of Lot wanted to have a child and carried out a plot of intoxicating, okay, resulting in Ammon and his half-brother, Moab, being conceived and born. This narrative has traditionally been considered a literal fact, but is now generally interpreted as recorded a gross popular irony by which the Israelites expressed the loathing of the morality of the Moabites and the Ammonites. So it has been doubted, however, whether the Israelites would have directed such irony to Lot himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so Lot ends up having two sons from the two
daughters. Wow. No wonder they have to stop incest.
Wow. Right,
mm-hmm.
right, right. So we know who the Ammonites and the Moabites are. These were brothers.
Yeah, they brothers.
Yeah.
Wow. But they weren't nice.
From
they
different mothers.
Right. One said they were evil people.
Yeah. 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 So you're right. That's probably exactly why that incest got stopped. That incest.
Yes. And that's probably due from where they, you know, what they did, the sin that they committed.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So. That was just so, yeah. So now when we see Ammonites and Moabites, we know where those people descended from. And then we know the Edenites, they're from Esau, the brother. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Amos, the farmer turned prophet, lashes out at sin, unflinching, trying to visualize the nearest of God's judgment and mobilize the nation to repentance. The nation, like a basket of rotten fruit, stands ripe for judgment because it is hypocrisy and spiritual indifferences. The name Amos is derived from the Hebrew root Amos, to lift a burden, to carry. Mm. Thus his name means burden or burden bearer.
Mm.
Amos lives up to the meaning of his name by bearing up under his divinely given burden of declaring judgment to rebellious Israel. The Greek and Latin titles are both transliterated in English as Amos.
Wow.
The author. The only Old Testament appearance of the name Amos is in this book. He should not be confused with Amoz, A-M-O-Z,
mm-hmm.
the father of Isaiah.
Mm.
Concerning his background, Amos said, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet. Mm-hmm. But I was a herdsman and a tender of sycamore fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that in 7 and 14, and I'll read it. And Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I am not a prophet. I am not a son of a prophet, but I am a herdsman, and I am one taking care of sycamore trees. But he was gripped by God and divinely commissioned to bring his prophetic burden to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get 3 and 8, Elder, and I'll read 7 and 15.
And 8 says, the lion mm-hmm. has roared, so who isn't frightened? The sovereign Lord has spoken, so who can refuse to proclaim his message? Mm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And 7 and 15 say, and Yahweh took me from following behind the sheep and the goats, and Yahweh said to me, go. Prophesied to my people Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So he came from a rural area of Tekoa in Judah, 12 miles south of Jerusalem, where he tended a special breed of small sheep that produced wool of the best quality.
Wow.
As a grower of sycamore figs, mm-hmm. he had to puncture the fruit before it ripens to allow the insects inside to escape.
Ooh.
Amos lived a disciplined life, and his knowledge of the wilderness often surfaces in his messages. So in his knowledge of the wilderness, so if you can read chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, and verse 12, and I'll read 5, 8, and 19.
4 says, does a lion ever roar in a thicket without first finding a victim? Does a young lion growl in its den without first catching its prey? Does a bird ever get caught in a trap that has no bait? Does a trap spring shut when there's nothing to catch?
I was supposed to go to 4, right? Yeah, 3, 4 to 5.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, 4 to 5. And then 12.
And then 12. 12 says, mm-hmm. this is what the Lord says. A shepherd who tries to rescue a sheep from a lion's mouth, two legs, or a piece of an ear. So it will be for the Israelites in Samaria, lying on luxurious beds, and for the people of Damascus, reclining on couches. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I tell you, man. Hmm. So they rather do all of that than to listen to the word of God and to stop doing what they were doing.
Absolutely, yeah. So then 5 and 8 says, the one who made the Pleiades and the Orion and who turns deep darkness into the morning and darkens day into night, the one who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, Yahweh is his name. And verse 19 says, it will be as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or he went into a house and leaned his hand against the wall and a snake bit him. So he's like, no matter where you turn, God
exactly.
is going to get you, right?
Yep.
It's like
yes.
you ran from a lion, and then you ran into a bear. You know, like you ran away from a lion, but then you ran into a bear.
Yep, and then you get bitten by a snake when you're running from the lion. Snake. Oh, my goodness.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then verse 9 and 9 says, yes, look, I am going to command, and I will shake the house of Israel among all the nations, like one who shakes with a seed, but not a pebble will fall to the ground. So it's just showing here that, you know, he makes a lot of references to wilderness type of things. Like he
yes.
knows about, because he lived in the wilderness, so he knows mm-hmm. about lions, and he knows
yes.
about, you know.
Because he had to fight them off from his, from the sheep.
Right, exactly. So,
like
so Amos was
did.
From, mm-hmm, not right, just like David, yeah. So that was not an easy job being a shepherd. You had to protect those sheep.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine all these hungry animals coming after your sheep? Oh, my
uh-huh.
goodness.
Then the thing is that he had to find a cave to put all of the sheep inside there, and then he had to stand guard on the outside.
Right. Because remember, they said his sheep had
yes.
the best quality wool.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't let anything happen to those sheep.
Absolutely.
Mm-mm.
And maybe those sheep, his flock was already blessed by God.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
They had
to be.
Them. Yeah. That's,
right.
what, that's how I
they
see it.
They had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Amos was from the country, but he was well educated in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
His keen sense of morality and justice is obvious, and his objective appraisal of Israel's spiritual condition was not well received. No, they don't want to hear that.
Nope.
Especially since he was from Judah. So
yes.
here it is.
Yes.
He's not even from northern Israel. He's from
nope.
Judah.
Judah.
So they did not receive him well at
mm-hmm.
all.
Nope.
So he delivered his message in Beth-El because it was the residence of the king of Israel and
mm-hmm.
the center of the idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
His frontal
mm-hmm.
attack on the greed, injustice, and self-righteousness of the people of the northern kingdom made his words unpopular. Oh, boy,
yep.
they didn't like him at all.
No, because he was coming there to tell them all the wrong things that they were doing, how they were cheating the people, how they were taking from them, and how they were taking the poor people and making them slaves over what? A sandal
yes.
or a piece of
right.
whatever? I mean, like, come
greed.
On.
Greed. Just greed took over.
That's why
greed.
I said, Lord, I thank
money.
You for what I have, and let me be content with what I have. I don't even care if I don't never get anything. Let me be content with
Amen.
What I got. But some people
are right.
so
That's
greedy,
right.
they don't want what they want what they have, but they want even more.
More, right.
And that's how
Non-stop.
We that's how the Israelites were. The more they had, the more they wanted.
Right. So the date and setting, Amos prophesied in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joaz, king of Israel. So these two kings are reigning simultaneously, one in
yeah.
Judah
mm-hmm.
and the other one in the northern kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 2 years before the earthquake. So Amos 1 and 1 says, the word of Amos was among the shepherds from Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, the
mm-hmm.
king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam,
mm-hmm.
son of Jehoaz, 2 years before the earthquake. So
what earthquake was that?
I don't know. I don't know. And that's one of the things I said, we're going to have to look up. What was this earthquake happened?
It says in 1 and 1.
It's time.
But 1 and 1 is not talking about the earthquake? Maybe it's, yeah, it says 1.
No, 1 and 1 just talked about what I just read.
It said
the same
okay.
thing, 2 years
okay.
before the earthquake. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So... that's one thing we got to look up, what earthquake, when, what about the earthquake? Because I don't remember even reading about the earthquake in the Bible.
Unless it was the earthquake, maybe they're talking about the earthquake that happened when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. You think that's the earthquake they're talking about?
This is 2 years before. Well, this is way past Moses now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right. This is many, many years past.
I remember reading about another earthquake.
That this, yeah. Oh, it says 7.
You found it?
7. No, I'm going to look. I'm going to look it up. But I just need to know the years. And then it goes on to say, Jeroboam reigned in 782 to 735 B.C., leaving an overlap from 767 to 753. Over 200 years later, Zechariah refers to this earthquake in Uzziah's reign. So in Zechariah, it says, Zechariah 14 and 5. Did you get Zechariah 14 and 5, Hilda?
Okay. Let me see. Where is Zechariah? You know, Bible chapters that I don't read that. Okay, Zechariah. What did you say, Zechariah what?
What? 14 and 5.
Says, where is 5? You will flee through this valley, for it will reach across to Azal. Yes, you will flee as you did from the earthquake in the day of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all his holy ones with him. It's still not telling you what.
Yeah, I'm looking at
only
up, yeah.
God's people will escape God's punishment in Matthew 24:16-20. In this time of confusion, God will clearly know who his people are. See the note on Amos 1 and 1 concerning the earthquake in the King Uzziah's day. That's the commentary is telling, well, it says in Matthew 24:16-20, but then it also tells you to see Amos 1 and 1. So I don't know.
Yeah, let's see. The Bible is confirmed by scientists. A major earthquake mentioned in the biblical prophets Amos and Zechariah has been confirmed to have taken place around 760 BC. Geologists have measured disruptions in the layers of sediment in the Dead Sea and that lay along the major fault line that indicates when major quakes occurred in a region. They found the largest earthquake of the last several thousand years coincides with the Amos account, confirming its validation.
They're still not telling us about what earthquake.
Well, it is. It's confirming that there was an earthquake in the day of Uzziah, in the day of Amos. There was actually an earthquake that happened.
Okay.
So Amos was the first prophet of the divided kingdom to have a book in the Bible named after him. He was older contemporary of Isaiah and lived during the reign of Uzziah of Judah and Jeroboam of the northern kingdom of Israel. Amos moved to Tekoa in Judah to Israel and prophesied the destruction of the kingdom. This was when Israel was prosperous, yet just a few decades away from the final defeat by the land of the Assyrians. So, yeah, they were soon to be taken over by the Assyrians, but I saw the Lord standing beside the altar. He said, strike the capitals until the threshold shakes and shatter them on the heads of... Oh, go to Amos 9 and 1.
Amos 9 and 1. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, a vision of God at the altar. Then it says, then I saw a vision of the Lord standing beside the altar. He said, strike the tops of the temple columns so that the foundation will shake. Bring down the roof on the heads of the people below. I will kill with the sword those who survive. No one will escape. Wow. Okay, so
right.
That was...
And then 3 and 14 as well as 3 and 15 and 6:11 also makes reference to the
earthquake. Okay. Wow.
So it says the altar will be broken and cast down.
Mm-hmm.
Houses will be smashed.
Mm-hmm.
The land will be shaken and tossed about. And the temple at Bethel will be brought down on their knees. So the biblical quake would serve as the first in a series of warnings that would eventually lead to Israel's expulsion from the land, you know, when they get taken over by Babylon.
Yeah.
Other biblical prophets would take up the imagery surrounding the earthquake to describe the coming judgment of the Lord, including the final judgment. Okay, so that's it. So God had warned them about this earthquake and what was about to happen to them in Amos. And this thing also, it confirms, scientifically, it confirms that this earthquake actually did occur.
Occur, okay.
So that tell you that, you know, the Bible is true.
Yes.
Okay. So Amos anticipates in 722 B.C. Assyrian captivity of Israel, which we see in chapter 7 and 11, which says, for this Amos, he said, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will certainly go into exile away from this land. And indicates that at the time of the writing, Jeroboam, too, was not yet dead. Thus, Amos prophesied in Bethel about 755 B.C. Astronomical calculations indicate that a solar eclipse took place in Israel on June 15,
763
B.C.
Wow.
This event was probably fresh in the minds of Amos's hearers. And if you can get Amos 8 and 9. That's
in that day, says the Lord, the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth while it is still day. Wow.
That's what an eclipse is. Yep, mm-hmm. That's exactly what happens where it passes over the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Amos ministers after the time of Obadiah, Joel, and Jonah, and just before Hosea, Micah, and Isaiah. At this time, Uzziah reigns over a prosperous and militarily successful Judah. He fortified Jerusalem and subdued the Palestinians,
mm-hmm.
the Ammonites, and the Edomites. In the north, Israel.
So which two tribe are they from? The Ammonites.
Who do we say the Ammonites were?
Oh, yeah, Lot. From Lot's daughters and sons, yes.
And
then the
Edomites. Uh-huh.
They're also from Lot?
No. The Moabites, but the Edomites, remember we said was from Esau. Remember Esau?
Oh,
Esau.
Yeah, Esau.
Yeah, Esau. Yeah, uh-huh. So the Edomites is Esau. The Ammonites is Lot. And the Moabites is Lot.
Wow. Okay. Got it.
So in the north, Israel was ruled by a capable king, Jeroboam II. Economic and military circumstances were almost ideal, but prosperity only increased the materialism and the immorality and the injustice of the people. So if you can get 2:6-8.
Mm-hmm. 2:6-8. Okay. It says, this is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sell honorable people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. They trample helpless people in the dust and shove the oppressed out of the way. Both father and son sleep with the same woman, corrupting my holy name. At their religious festivals, they lounge in clothing their debtors put up as security in the house of their gods. They drink wine brought with unjust fines. Wow, they were terrible, 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 terrible.
What? Oh, my goodness gracious.
Terrible people. How could they do that?
Man and the father have sex with the same woman.
Yeah.
So 3:10 says, they do not know how to do right, declares Yahweh. Those who store up violence and destruction in their citadel fortress. And 4:1, if you can get 5:10-12,
okay.
I'm going to read 4:1. And 4:1 says, hear this word, you cows of Bashan who live on the mountain of Samaria, who opposes the powerless, who crushes the poor, who say their husbands, bring something so that we may drink. And say to their husbands, bring something so that we may drink.
Huh.
Don't care about nobody else.
They are cruel people. Evil. Well, there ain't too much change in this generation either.
No.
Okay,
right.
5:10-12.
10 through 12.
Mm-hmm. How you hate honest judges. How you despise people who tell the truth. You trample the poor, stealing their grain through taxes and unfair rent. Therefore, though you build beautiful stone houses, you will never live in them. Though you plant lush vineyards, you will never drink wine from them. For I know the vast number of your sins and the depth of your rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts.
Wow.
And then what 8:4-6 says, it says, hear this, those mm-hmm. who trample on the poor and alienate the effects of the land, mm-hmm. saying, when will the new moon be over so that we can sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we can open the grain bins, that we can make the ephah small and make the shekels large, and can practice deceit with a set of scales of deceit, that we can buy the powerless with silver and the poor for the sake of a pair of sandals.
Yep.
We can sell and waste of the grain.
Mm-mm.
They said the shekel. That's the shekel is. That's what me and when we were in Israel, we had to figure out how to spell them shekels. Because if you don't know that money, honey, you be getting gypped. You had to figure that out too.
And that's what equals. That's what they were doing. They were robbing the people blind because why? You know, they oppressed the poor. Oh my, even for a pair of sandals, if you can't pay for a sandals and they gonna lock you, they gonna make a slave out of you for a pair of sandals.
For a pair of sandals. They'll sell you for a pair of sandals.
Yes, that is wicked. Wicked, wicked, wicked.
Yeah.
Well, it ain't too much different today because that's what some of them do. They make the scale way more than what you really have, or less than what you buy, you know. And so you're paying more for less.
Right, right, right. Because they rig the scales. And stuff
yes.
Like yeah.
Absolutely, they do.
True. And then it's the same because look, we in the poor neighborhood spend more money. Our grocery stores are more expensive.
Yes.
Than you know, you go out if you're able and you got a car, you can go out to Trader Joe's and you go to Trader Joe's and things are so much cheap, but you gotta have a car to go there. But
exactly.
Our neighborhood grocery stores, the prices are so much higher.
Yes.
You know. You go into a bodega, a container of milk, you go into a bodega, how much are they gonna charge you for a container of milk? They're gonna charge you $4 or $5. Right. Double, triple what it costs to get a container of milk.
Yeah,
this
because
is in the poor neighborhood. So.
Yeah, because mother was saying that she paid for a gallon of milk was $7 and almost $8 for a gallon of milk.
I know. Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If these things are still going on with the poor. It only gets poorer.
Exactly.
The poor get poorer and the rich get richer.
Right. I normally will pay $15 to go to my sister's house from the Bronx to Manhattan. One taxi driver tell me $25. I looked at him. I said, have you lost your mind? I never paid $25 to go from the Bronx to my sister's house on 120th Street and First Avenue. Are you kidding me?
Forget Uber. Uber,
even $20 is too much, huh?
Yeah, Uber's now, especially since the pandemic.
Yes.
They are ridiculous. I paid $30 and I paid it because I had to get, I had to go to Tia's house where, you know, Tia's right there on Fifth Avenue, 138th.
I know. That's what
it
I'm saying.
It takes less than 15 minutes to get to Tia's house from here. That Uber charged me $30. I said, this is robbery.
Exactly.
They were saying because of the COVID, you know, they're not really.
Yeah, they're always
giving
you an excuse of why they raised the price. But you, that's not fair.
I will
because
never.
Because we're poor just like you. We're trying to make
like
a living
you.
Just like you. And you want to rob
right.
us blind? Come on.
That's why I tell you, I will not take another Uber. Or I'm like, forget it. It's too much. They're charging too much. It's ridiculous.
I look, you know what? I got to the point where I say, okay, I had my two shots. I wear my mask. I'll get on, I spray myself down with Lysol before I leave the house. And I go and I get on that bus, which cost me $1.35 to go to my sister's.
Yeah.
I was like,
right.
I can't pay that kind of money. And she brings me back home. You know, that's crazy.
Oh, good.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
I take the bus everywhere. I get on the bus now. Ever since my experience with the Uber, I said, forget it. Thank God I have this express bus. I don't mind paying the $6. The
$6
and 75
cents. $6 I will pay in a heartbeat.
Right. Yeah.
But not $25 with a regular taxi that I take all the time. And since they all merge together, each one of them charges you a different price. And there's nothing you can do because you want to go where you want to go. You either pay it or get out.
But I wonder if they're losing money.
Yes,
I wonder if they're really losing money.
Yeah.
Because people can't afford to pay that. So
no,
you'd rather keep your prices high.
That's why the buses and trains and stuff is so crowded because the people can't afford it.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So the last sentence. Before we go. During these years, we're still in the setting.
Okay.
During these years, Assyria, Babylon, Syria, and Egypt were relatively weak.
Wow.
Thus, the people of Israel found it hard to imagine the coming disaster predicted by Amos.
Mm-mm.
However, it was only 3 decades until the downfall. So it took 3 decades. It was like it's 30 years.
30 years.
But in those 30 years, those countries became strong. But at that time, they were weak. So they were what are you talking about? These countries going to take us over. They weak.
Yeah, because they were like, what? We barely lift a finger. And you talking about what's coming? We too weak to even fight.
Yeah, they was like, you got to be kidding me. Those countries going to take us over? Ha, ha, ha. They laughed. They had the last laugh passing to them.
Yep, absolutely.
The last laugh.
Lesson. I really enjoyed this one. It was so, I was like, okay. We're too weak. So we just got to let it go.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Did you get to go out and vote?
I did. I left my house. I got up early this morning on my way to work because I was going to go down to the office. So I left until I got early. So I went straight to vote. Like, I went straight to vote this morning. And then I got on the express bus. And then when I was on the bus, because when I left the house, it was sunny and shining outside. But I got on the bus, and it started getting cloudy. And I'm like, wait, is it going to rain? And then I checked my phone, and said 100% chance of rain. And I didn't have an umbrella.
Oh, no.
So I got off the bus and came right back home. I told my boss, I will be working from home today. I changed my mind. I'm not coming into the office. Like, oh, no. I don't even have an umbrella. I'm calling myself going somewhere. So that
I went to. I went to vote, right, but I put on my raincoat because I don't like to carry umbrellas because it makes my arms tired, you know? I put my raincoat on and sweating like a cow because I'm walking now because they moved our voting from the school across the street from where I live, and they moved us all the way down to 183rd Street.
Oh, wow.
So I'm walking.
Yeah.
And it is so humid outside. And I got on this raincoat. And I'm sweating. The coat is sticking to me. I was like, you know what? You are crazy. You should have just turned around and went on back home. But I said, nope. I'm already out here. And plus, I had to go to Rite Aid. So let me go ahead on to vote and then come on
everything.
To Rite Aid, pick up the prescription, and come on back home. I even stopped and got me something to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the milk that I have to buy for the half a gallon, that milk cost me $5.49. I was like, oh, Lord. That's just a half a gallon. Imagine
half a gallon,
if I had
right.
to pay a gallon, that would have been like almost $10.
Yeah. Well, I get the lactose free milk is always more expensive than the regular milk too.
And that's what I drink, lactose. Yep.
Yeah, me too. It's always
you
been more expensive.
You ever tried their ice cream?
I haven't, I'm not lactose intolerant. Just that I like that milk. I started buying that milk for Shani. But Shani was, you know, I found out when she was younger that she was lactose intolerant. So I started buying that milk. But then I really liked it. I like lactate.
Oh,
I like the milk.
I love it. It tastes so good.
Right.
Even Mother buys it now.
Oh, okay.
Mother bought 4 gallons because she drinks milk three to four times a day. That's a lot of milk.
And that lasts so much longer. It lasts so much longer than regular milk, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so. But see, my problem is, like, when I buy it and I put it in the back of the refrigerator, when I go to get it to put my cereal, the milk is
frozen.
Oh my god! Yeah,
it's frozen.
What in the
yeah.
world?
You got to turn down. You got to turn it down a little. Refrigerator.
But I did, and everything still freezes up. I mean, in a way it's and in a way it's not, because I like to buy grapes and apples and stuff. I put them in the freezer. In the refrigerator, but everything freezes up down there. So what I take the water and I put the water in the back of the refrigerator and let it get nice and frozen and cold. And then that's what I have for the night.
Oh, nice. That's nice. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, dear. So I'm going to get something to eat. I haven't eaten yet.
Me neither.
Amen.
I ate about, 12 o'clock? It's like 8 o'clock, but my stomach still feels full. So what I would do, I would drink one of those, the vegetable juice.
Yeah.
And then maybe later.
Time I ate was like 1 o'clock. I'm starving now. You should be. Your stomach still feels full. You said you still feel full from 12 o'clock?
Yeah. You know why? Because I take the, what you call those, Metamucil. And the Metamucil makes you stay full all the time for hours on top of hours. Even in the morning,
really?
I wake up, I'm not hungry.
But I eat because I have to take my medicine.
Uh-huh.
But so Metamucil is
probably the
good.
Fiber it, in it.
Yes, the fiber. It keeps you clean mm-hmm. out.
Right, and it makes you feel full, too. I guess.
I like the gummy bears. They have the cookies also. In the morning, what I do, I would dump the cookies inside the coffee because the cookies are so hard. You know, they're very hard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I won't talk too much. I'll let you go and get something to eat. And I will see you on tomorrow at Sister Barbara. Well, last week, the lesson was so good.
I'm sorry I missed it. I really
Yeah, well, she said she's going to go back over it.
Oh, because, good. That's what I was waiting for. Like,
because
go
she
back
said
over
that
it.
She said you would... Yeah, she said you would love the lesson from last week, so she's going to go back.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
because you and Mother wasn't there, so it was just me and her. Mm-hmm. So she said she'll go back over it. I said, oh, thank you.
That's awesome.
Okay.
That's awesome. All right, let me pray us out. Dear God,
Amen.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
Thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you for this lesson, Lord God,
and
how you, Lord God, allow us to search the scriptures, Lord God, and opening up information to us, Lord God, that even though we may have read these things before, that we never really took into consideration, Lord God. And we just thank you because every time we go into your word, Lord God, we get a new revelation, Lord God. And it just keeps us, Lord God, so happy. It makes us so happy, Lord God. Your word is alive, Lord God. Your word is exciting, Lord God. Your word is knowledge. Your word helps us, Lord God, to think about our own lives and think about, Lord God, how we can be more obedient to you. So we thank you and praise you, Lord God. And, Lord God, I just want to give a special blessing, Lord God, to Hilda's father because she maintains, Lord God, this pray one for another, Lord God, this avenue for us to be able, Lord God, to learn about your word, Lord God, and to be consistent with it, Lord God. So I just thank you and praise you, Lord God, for Hilda. Keep your arms of protection around her, Lord God. Continue to bless her, Lord God, in everything that she does. And I ask these blessings in your precious son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I receive that in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh,
yes.
The sun is so bright.
Yes, it is. It's come out.
I was like, oh, my goodness. When I opened up my eyes from the prayer and I looked, my whole apartment is lit up. God definitely heard
thank
that
you, God.
Prayer. Yes, indeed. He heard that prayer.
Amen.
So, First Lady, you
Amen.
Go ahead and get something to eat and
All right,
get some
then.
Rest. And again, I will see you on tomorrow. God bless you. I love you.
Okay.
And
take
care.
I love
care.
You, too.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
So, on that note, we are closing out without music. Praise God.